In that second reading today from St. Paul writing to the Corinthians, we hear the earliest written version, the earliest known text of the Eucharistic prayer, written in that letter from Paul to the Corinthians. This was around 56 AD, about 20 years after Jesus' crucifixion. St. Paul wrote, "Brothers and sisters, I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was handed over, took bread, and after he had given thanks, broke it, and said, 'This is my body that is for you. Do this in memory of me.' In the same way, also the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the death of the Lord until he comes.'" Paul was sharing what the early church had been practicing ever since Jesus' resurrection and Pentecost, the liturgy of the Eucharist. So we know that that had been going on now for over 20 years. That was the practice of the earliest church, and it still is. Now, here we are some 2,000 years later, and we're going to do exactly the same thing that Paul was talking about. That was 2,000 years ago. Now, just 500 years ago, there was a great schism in Christianity. And Protestant thinking began to expand within the church, to grow in areas of the church. In the 16th century, those Protestants began to form a new theology, breaking away from at that time, 1,500 years of teaching and practice in the church. They began to teach that the Eucharist is a symbol, not a substance. Now, for 2,000 years, our belief is it's not a symbol. It's substance. It's Jesus' body and blood. And at that point, in that moment, it was as if you pulled the plug out of the wall. The Protestants begin to unravel the sacramental church. And today they have no sacraments. They lost the priesthood and the Eucharist. You can't have one without the other. They lost confession. They stopped anointing the sick. In just the last 100 years, the last of the sacraments to fall to Protestant thinking was the sacrament of holy matrimony. They no longer believe it or teach it. So in 500 years, they just re-engineered Christianity without sacraments, without Eucharist, without priesthood. Once you lose the Eucharist, there's little foundation for the other sacraments in Protestant theology. You can't find it. And they won't claim it. Roman Catholics must grow in the belief and faith that Jesus gave us his body and blood. Those are his words. If we don't do that, if we don't practice that, we're going to go down the same road and lose our sacraments. The Eucharist is substance, it's not symbol. Christ's blood is the source of all of our sacraments. The Catholics live the sacramental life of the church. That's what makes us Catholics. Soon after the beginning of the Protestant revolt in the early 16th century, the Catholic Church, especially in France and in Spain, and to some degree in England, began to teach against the Eucharist vehemently, creating a great divide between Christians. One of the leading Protestant theologians in the early 16th century began to teach against the sacraments of the church and the role of the sacraments in our salvations. It's not necessary for your salvation. And the church in France began to seek a compromise. Imagine the Catholic Church in France. It was the largest Catholic church in the Catholic world, was the church in France. And they began to seek a compromise with the Protestants. They didn't want the schism any more than we do, but their solution was to begin like to negotiate or compromise the theology. And they were seeking to compromise with the Protestant Calvinist from John Calvin. The Calvinists are the forerunners of today's Presbyterians. And one of the teachings for Catholics was the uselessness of frequent Holy Communion. You're probably doing that too often. It probably won't help you. And this became the teaching in the Catholic Church in France and gradually in Spain and England. Perhaps you should only receive Holy Communion infrequently, perhaps once a year. Even nuns in convents were restricted, if you can believe this, in obedience and restricted in receiving Holy Communion. The idea was that Holy Communion could not save you. The sacraments could not save you. They were attacking hope when they were attacking the Eucharist. Frequent communion was not recommended, and the teachings evolved within the Catholic Church into a great heresy. Now, heresy is something that is directly attacking the Catholic Church. And we've had a few in 2,000 years. This one was known by the name Jansenism, named for a theologian. And Jansenism taught against the sacraments. They taught this in the seminaries, they taught this to the priests, and it spread very, very quickly as a heresy throughout the 16th century into the 17th century, and against the saving effects of the sacraments. Jansenism is Catholic Calvinism. Recall what Jesus said, as taught by the Apostle St. John the Evangelist, when he wrote in chapter 6 in the Gospel, "Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life in him." This was Jesus' promise, and the reason he gave us his body and blood, saying, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world." And then he taught, "Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. And I will raise him on the last day." That's a promise. "For my flesh is true food and my blood is true drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in him." Protestants do not teach this, and yet it's there in the Bible. Now, around the year 1671, 1673, 1675, there was a convent in France of the Visitation Nuns in the town of Paray-le-Monial. Jesus appeared to St. Margaret Mary Alacoque, one of the nuns in the convent there. St. Margaret Mary was deeply in love with Jesus. Her prayer life was profound. But she knew nothing about the heresy. She was a young woman in a convent, and this particular order is even still today, very restrictive. They are closed in contemplative order. They never leave the convent. But at this time, although she knew nothing about the heresy, the superiors were teaching what the bishops and the seminaries were teaching, greatly limiting her receiving Holy Communion. That's what she wanted to do, was to receive Holy Communion. And she could only go to confession once a year. You hear that? Kind of like turning the spigot off on sacraments, and it was permeating even convents. Jesus appeared to St. Margaret Mary many times in that 3 or 4 year period, and they had many conversations. And her spiritual director ordered her to write them down. She didn't want to, but he said, "What you're receiving is too rich. Write it down." So she began a journal. That journal is still in that convent, and you can still buy the autobiography. It's her autobiography. And in one of those appearances, on this day, on the Feast of Corpus Christi, in the year of our Lord, 1675, St. Margaret Mary was in the chapel. You can still visit this chapel. It's been over 300 years now. She was at prayer before the Blessed Sacrament on the Feast of Corpus Christi. And Jesus appeared to her in visions, one of many conversations. And he revealed to her that day his Sacred Heart. If you read her biography, she wrote down very carefully that conversation. He said, "Behold this heart, which has loved men so much." And he told her he wanted hearts consecrated to him, and that's what we've been doing here with the consecration to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And Jesus instructed St. Margaret Mary, "I ask of you that the Friday after the octave of Corpus Christi be set apart for a special feast to my honor." That's why we have the Feast of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the Friday in the octave after the Feast of Corpus Christi. And Jesus instructed that to St. Margaret Mary. And she was a nobody. And it took a generation for this information to leave the convent. The nuns were greatly inspired by this and copied her journal. They passed it around after she died, and there were lots of these journals passing around and circulating, and eventually the authorities of the church and her spiritual director said, "No, we've got to get this officially recorded." And it turned into one of the biggest selling books in that century. He instructed that all are to receive communion on the feast day, and all are supposed to receive Holy Communion frequently. So on another occasion, Jesus instructed her, "You shall receive Holy Communion as often as obedience will permit you." And he told her, "You shall receive Holy Communion on the first Friday of every month." You see how Jesus was confronting an entire heresy. And in doing this, he struck down the wicked heresy. There were a number of things that happened spiritually that are very famous in that period of time, and one of them was the devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. It was a direct attack on the heresy of Jansenism. He was teaching us to receive his body and blood in Holy Communion often, at a very minimum once a month, the first Friday of each month. This went right in the face of what the church was trying to teach throughout France. And it took several decades for this devotion to spread, and it spread throughout France and the world. The Jesuits picked it up and made it one of their central teaching things. You can still see it in the symbol of the Jesuit order. It's stamped on every single one of their official documents, the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Today there are churches, seminaries, hospitals, and universities dedicated to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, as is our parish. And in just our diocese of Austin, you know how many churches we have dedicated to St. Mary, right? Well, there's 6 churches dedicated to the Sacred Heart of Jesus just in our diocese. And it's worldwide. The Feast of the Sacred Heart of Jesus is witness to the Feast of Corpus Christi. They're linked. They're tied together. They're intertwined. Jesus gave us his body and blood for our eternal salvation, and he told us to receive him often in Holy Communion. So we know that this Eucharist, from the very beginning, he's been teaching us to do this. Remember what I've always told you. If you're baptized, there's only 3 things that are missing. Don't miss Mass. 3rd commandment of the 10 commandments, right? Keep holding the Sabbath. Receive Holy Communion as often as you can, the same teaching as Jesus has said. And go to frequent confession. When you fall off the bicycle, when we all fall off the bicycle, get back into frequent confession. Do those 3 things, you're fine. That's the road to salvation. We call it the sacramental life of the church, the state of grace. We are a sacramental people.